No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Ricky Pearsall, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to another episode of the Roster Watch radio program or podcast or YouTube program, whichever way you like it, wherever you're listening. Please click that like button. Please click subscribe. I'm Cody Carpentier here on a beautiful Monday with the Trash Man. And today we're going to be talking about good players. We like good players. We like drafting good players. We like playing fantasy football. And we like keeping it easy, keeping it simple, and just talking about the things that help you just win your leagues. Version 1.0 of the PPR Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet from RosterWatch.com is up on the website right now. Early June, it's already up. So go check it out, RosterWatch.com. Be a pro or a premium subscriber. We would really appreciate it, and we love y'all. So please tap in over RosterWatch.com. Trash Man, good players. Drafting good players and not drafting maybe good players on bad teams.
No, yeah, that's the gist of it. You know, we always want to draft good players, and they're good players to be had, but good players aren't always on good teams. And I don't know, I just, you know, fantasy is, it's a heartbreak waiting to happen most of the time. And I find, and I found at least recently that, like, just, you know, getting the guys on the bad teams just out of your mind, off your roster, you know, lessens your chance at a heartbreak. Getting the guys on good teams and whether they're really good players or not in some cases, I think just sets you up for success.
And so in preparing for this, I know we each did a little bit of different preparation for it. The angle I took was because obviously Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet 1.0 PPR was posted up this weekend from Alex. I went through that and I dug up to see how many players from each team, how many was there from each team in the top 60 of the cheat sheet. I wanted to look through that. So the best teams was Cincinnati, Philly, and Detroit, obviously high-scoring, potent offenses that we have known the last couple of years, each had four players inside the top 60. Then there were three teams, New England, Cleveland, and Tennessee, with zero players apiece into the top 60. So it kind of goes to the same thought there of we don't want players on bad teams. And right now, you know, obviously if you could look back at last year's draft cycle, Tennessee was picking first, Cleveland was up there, and New England was also up there with a 4-13 record. The Raiders aren't far behind. They obviously have Bowers and Genty, so it's a little bit of an outlier in that situation. But there's some teams I have interesting thoughts on. Minnesota's got one player in the top 60 right now. You look at San Francisco's interesting. They only have two. Dallas is interesting. So where do you want to start out, Trash Man, and kind of kind of what are some of the overlaying thoughts you have?
I mean, we could start at the top. I feel like that's always a good place to start.
All right.
I mean, Detroit had the most prolific offense. I mean, they were third in the NFL in explosive plays, but total offense, 423.9 yards per game, 33.2 points per game. So you have your duo, your running back duo of Jahmyr Gibbs, who for me is easily a top five running back. I know a lot of people feel like if there's another running back on the roster who is of, you know, prolific fantasy ilk, then they don't want to give the other guy, you know, his due. I mean, you could say the same thing about Tampa Bay, which is another team that's surprisingly up there in prolific offenses too, that we don't always tend to think about with Bucky Irving and Rashad White. So we have those offenses, and so we generally don't want to give those players their due because they're, you know, coupled with another guy who's fantasy worthy. Let's talk about both Detroit and Tampa Bay and the running back situation. So both situations where you have running backs in either case. So Bucky Irving, we generally don't want to give his due because, you know, he's got Rashad White there, but he's performed like a top five running back and stints there in Tampa Bay. And Rashad White, who he can be had for peanuts right now in drafts, who is also on a good offense, on a good running offense, who you're going to be able to get late. You're going to be able to get value on in leagues. And so these are the kind of players that you want to angle for in fantasy, regardless of whether they're the marquee player necessarily, or the way we think about it, but they're on good offenses, they're on prolific offenses, and they're getting opportunities, whether it's, you know, in the running game or in the passing game, kind of more indirectly. And I feel the same way about Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. I think in all four of those situations, I feel good about having any of those running backs on my team just because of the situations that they're in.
Tampa Bay is interesting to me. So amongst the top 60, Tampa has two players, Bucky Irving, obviously, and then Mike Evans is the one that kind of makes it in there. Chris Godwin's just on the outside looking in of the top 60. Detroit has four, and David Montgomery is on the same line as Chris Godwin, so he's also just on the outside. That would have been the fifth Detroit player inside that top 60. Interesting note with Tampa is, you know, we kind of have looked at Tampa. They've won the division four straight years. They came in second the year they won the Super Bowl with Brady. And we have viewed them, it feels like, since Brady was there, even when Winston was there, this was a team that, from a fantasy football perspective, like, they were in games, not always winning games, but they were in games and throwing the football a ton, which in this conversation, good teams, bad players, or good players on bad teams can be a little bit of an outlier because Mike Evans, obviously, ate. Chris Godwin ate. They had Fournette for a couple of years, things of that nature. But they were a top five offense in scoring, top 10 offense in yards, with Brady being there. Those 2 years, Brady's last year and Mayfield's first year, they were 20th in points, 25th in points, 23rd in yards, and 15th in yards in 2022 and 2023, despite winning that division. This last year, though, with Liam Cohen, before he obviously went to Jacksonville now, fourth in points, third in yards. And Josh Grizzard, the new offensive coordinator, was the pass game coordinator last year in Tampa. So, yes, Liam Cohen's leaving. He was the offensive play caller. He was the offensive coordinator. But a lot of the weaponry is the same. Mayfield's still there. You said Bucky, Rashad White. Obviously, I think we can get a little bit of a value out of Rashad White, as you kind of alluded to right now on the Ultimate Draft cheat sheet. If you go check it out, like, Rashad White is nowhere near the top. He's a lot closer to the Bashaul Tuten conversation. It's a lot closer to the Josh Downs, Rashid Shaheed, like, late round draft type of situation for Rashad White, where there's value. There's like really good offense. And what did I just say about Detroit? David Montgomery, who's obviously the 1A, 1B, whatever you want to call it with Gibbs. I think we all love Gibbs, but Montgomery's just this close to being in the top 60 conversation. And we're talking about Tampa Bay team that a year ago, like I said, was fourth in points and third in yards. I like the contrast, the comparison that you just made there with Tampa and Detroit, because, like you said, it's a really good football team that I don't think he's going to suffer from a negative regression in offensive output because of play calling, where a lot of people, I think that Liam Cohen leaving is going to do that. And with Mike Evans taking a half step back, Chris Godwin coming off of an injury, they drafted a couple of guys in Emeka Egbuka. They have Jalen McMillan. There's going to be a lot more, I think, on the running back's workload. We could see a lot more Rashad White too. So that's kind of the direction I take that is. I think I like the Rashad White side of that.
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, really the silver lining here, the players who otherwise you don't really think very much of, but because of the offenses that they're in, they represent value to be had in fantasy.
When I bring up a team like, you know, our two favorite teams, so Minnesota to me and Dallas, two teams that when you think about from a scoring perspective, I don't know, I just – under Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings the last couple of years, they were 9th in points, 12th in yards, 22nd in points, 10th in yards, 8th in points, 7th in yards. That's the last three seasons. Now, the two of those previous to this past year was with Cousins. This last year with Darnold, they were 9th in points, 12th in yards. Dallas, on the other perspective, as long as Dak is healthy, they're usually pretty solid. Last year, they were 21st in points, but the year before, they were first in points, before that fourth, and before that first. So top of the conversation. And when I look at these two teams, the only guys in the top 60 right now for Minnesota is Justin Jefferson. Now, just outside of the top 60, you have Addison, Aaron Jones, and TJ Hawkinson. But for Dallas, it's literally just CeeDee Lamb and Pickens. And Javonte, Jaden, Blue. You think there's value in – do you think Dallas is a good team? Do you think these players are good enough on a – I think Dallas is a good team. I mean, I know they had one down year this last year, but they won 12 games 3 years in a row. Is Dallas and Minnesota kind of an area where we can get some value in the middle to late rounds on a team that, like I said, it's basically Lamb and Jefferson. And then obviously Pickens right. Kind of entered that conversation as of late. But these are two teams that, I don't want to say perennially, but over the last 3 years, they've shown that they can be top five scoring offenses.
No, absolutely. I mean, Jordan Addison, I mean, if you're just going off of fantasy points per game in 2024, I lost it. But overall fantasy points, he was 18th overall for wide receivers, you know, right behind A.J. Brown. I mean, so that's a situation where you have a guy on a good, well, you know, arguably good offense in a good position who can perform close to somebody like an A.J. Brown. That's where you can find your value in somebody like an Addison who – just based on the situation, based on the target share that they're getting on, you know, on the offense that they're in. Same with Dallas. I mean, Jaden Blue is already making the Cowboys reconsider the depth chart there at the running back position. And he's somebody that you can get in the mid to late rounds in every draft. But he represents so much value because the offense can be a top five offense easily. Like you said, it was a down year in 2024, but that's an outlier compared to the last 5 years, you know? So I think players like that, Jaden Blue, Addison, on those good offenses offer, you know, potentially high value based on their situation.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Treasureman, there was this video that I saw come up on X, and I want to just ask you if you think this is getting a little bit out of hand. So for those on the podcast audience, I'm showing a video right now that is from Ernie the Cowboy fan. And it's Jaden Blue 59195 and Barry Sanders 59195. When I tell you Jaden Blue will have the best season at the running back position in the NFC behind a beefy offensive line, believe me. Is this a little hot?
I mean, I don't know that Barry Sanders is 5'9". Is Barry Sanders 5'9"?
I don't know. I feel like he was like 5'6". I mean, yeah. I know I made the comparison because Tashard Choice was
Barry Sanders is 5'8". And he was what 203 pounds. I don't know where he's getting those measurements, Ernie, but that's quite the comparison.
Shows you where Cowboy fans are at, though.
Well, the Cowboy as a perennial Cowboy fan, we're a bit delusional, just as a general rule. But yeah, I mean, I'd love for Blue to get anywhere in the realm of a Barry Sanders. I would be ecstatic if we got, you know, three quarters of a Barry Sanders season out of Blue. But it does look like he could leapfrog both of the running backs presently in contention for the lead back role in Dallas, Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. I mean, what are we talking about here? Jaden Blue represents a lot of value because he is on a potentially really good offense. And he has he's not 200 pounds just yet. He could get there. But neither one of those guys ahead of him are what we might consider like bully backs that, you know, would necessarily put in the goal line over him. So Jaden Blue is in really good position for fantasy and for fantasy owners because you can get him on the cheap.
Jaden Blue right now is the, let's see, what number is he? He's the fourth Dallas Cowboy come off the board right now on the cheat sheet behind Lamb, Pickens, and just behind Javonte. He's about 96th overall on the sheet. I got two questions and two thoughts. One, I'll let you pick which direction we want to go here, but one is about the Raiders and having two potential number one players at the position in Bowers and Genty. And if it's an outlier or if it's something that you can kind of tell this offense is going to shift now with, you know, the new regime and Geno Smith, or I want to talk about how you navigate teams like New England and Carolina and the Giants and the Titans and how you navigate that from your perspective, because you've been the one that's kind of said like, I'm done drafting players on bad teams. I'm just done doing it. So I just kind of want to know like how you navigate that, what kind of your thought process is when you have an offense like New England where it's like, well, this seems like it's pretty much going to be Diggs, or you see this Kyle Williams thing pop up, or you look at like the Giants, I guess is maybe the better example. You see Malik Nabers just doing Malik Nabers things. Like, do you allow yourself to spend that draft capital on a Malik Nabers because you just know what the talent is, or are you just kind of like, I just want to stay away?
Yeah, with Malik Nabers, we've seen what he can do. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. And so even though it's – well, and I think the offense is better than it has been. You know, it's not a great offense, at least on paper. But I think it's going to be better than it has been. And we see Malik Nabor prove himself on a bad team. So, I mean, you know, he's an outlier for sure. He's a special player who has proven to be able to produce regardless of the matchup in a bad offense, just because he can create his own yards. A team like Las Vegas, well, I don't know that they're a bad team anymore, that they're a bad offense. I mean, Geno Smith, he's a good quarterback. We've seen him produce in Seattle for a number of years now. You know, they have the number one running back in the draft in Ashton Jeanty. They have arguably the number one tight end in the league in Brock Bowers. I think, you know, we have a lot more questions at the receiver position. And that's a position I kind of would veer away from in fantasy in regards to the Raiders. But, you know, it's common sense plays into a lot of this too, you know. With someone like Jeanty, who we know they're going to use, and we know that they drafted to use, and we know that he's a special player. So these are the kind of, you know, players you can take a stab at and hope that they're floor will be high enough to carry them, you know, carry you through on a week to week basis. But I think at the wide receiver position, there is more question about, like, on a week to week basis, are these players who are going to be able to provide fantasy capital for you? That's going to win you weeks on a week in and week out basis. And I don't know that's the case at the receiver position for the Raiders. But you know, it's something that'll be interesting to see throughout the season. And this is, and you kind of want to see where you get value on teams that weren't necessarily good offenses in 2024, but potentially will be in 2025. I think it makes sense to invest some time in looking at teams that may make an improvement in 2025 offensively and getting pieces of those offenses. And I think the Raiders are a prime example of that.
Giants finished 31st in points last year, 30th in yards, and Nabors ended up as the wide receiver 6. Not sure if that offense is going to take a step forward or not, but interesting enough. I think the point here is, and you look at the Nabors and you look at the Bowers, it's individual situations where the player has to be so supreme to the situation. Nabors is so supreme of a talent. Jeanty, same thing. Bowers, same thing. Everything else in those offenses, though, it's like, you know, you really going to get in on Tyron Tracy? You really going to go get in on Jacoby Myers? I think that's more the overarching thought with those teams. Do you have any teams you want to talk about, Trashman?
I did want to talk about – actually, the 49ers.
Good. I was thinking about that too.
What's that?
I said good because I was thinking about them too. It's just a weird kind of year with.
Yeah, we're kind of weird, but they averaged 28.4 points per game, which made them fifth in the league and second in total offense in 2024. So they're one of the more, I guess, pass friendly teams in the league too. I guess they're kind of middle of the pack there, which I guess isn't bad if you're wanting to consider players who are running backs and or pass catchers primarily, on an offense. So I think San Francisco offers a lot of potential though, because it is a high ceiling offense but also has several players who, you know, you can buy low on right now that could potentially produce in what will likely be a good offense this season in your Ricky Pearsalls and perhaps your Juwan Jennings. So those are both players who, you know, are players we may not really think about as marquee players at their positions, but because of the offenses that they're in, they offer perhaps some more value than other players that they're hovering around at their current ADPs.
Brock Purdy finishes QB10 and QB6 in a fantasy points per game basis the last 2 years. He's obviously dealt with some elbow stuff in his career, just got paid $250 million, and he's currently quarterback 11 on the roster watch cheat sheet. And I think he's a guy we're going to end up getting quite a bit of because of exactly what you just said. There's some value in this offense, and it's a Shanahan offense that has, over the course of the last, you know, 7 years, finished in the top 15 every year but one. And that 1 year was when Nick Mullins was the head for a good bulk of the games, and they won 6 games. So if you think that San Fran's going to be bad, well, that's kind of what we're talking about here. If they're going to be bad, they're just going to be bad. But if they're going to be competent and it's going to be an offense that's run a little closer to normal than it is when you think about having a Debo and a McCaffrey and all these different pieces in this offense, there's no more Debo there. So you look at the top 60 right now, like I said, there's two players from San Fran in the top 60. It's McCaffrey, who right now is around like the 1-2 turn, and then George Kittle's also in the top 60 as well, kind of as the tight end three off the board. But after that, like you said, it's Jennings, Pearsall, and Ayuk. And the idea that – and those guys are all going off between like 75 and 90. And the idea that you can get the – I don't think George Kittle's going to go out and lead this team in receptions and targets. Like, I just – he's getting up there in age. It feels more like it's going to be either Pearsall or Ayuk to me. And those are the both guys cheaper than Juwan Jennings right now. Both guys going around pick 90 right now. That's value to me in an offense that finished 13th in points last year, fourth in yards last year, second in yards the year before that, fifth in yards the year before that, seventh in yards the year before that, fourth overall in passing yards last year. Like, this team's going to throw the football, and this team's going to score points. It's in a very tough division. The Rams are good. The Cardinals are getting better as the years go by. The Seahawks completely shifted everything, but they should still be a good offense with JSN and Kupp and Darnold and Ken Walker and stuff like this. It should be a good division to play in this year. And San Fran, I like that. And I'm glad you brought them up because they're another team that sits in there. There's 15 teams, so almost half the league, with two players in the top 60 on the Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet right now. There's four teams with three, and there's three teams with four. There's obviously three teams with zero, like I said before. But San Fran's one of these teams that just kind of is sitting there. They got the two dudes, McCaffrey and Kittle, that everybody knows about. But I think you can find value in Purdy. I don't know right now on June 9th which side I am on with the Jennings, Pearsall, Ayuk thing. Mm-hmm. But I know I like Garendo. I think Jordan James is interesting at running back. It's just an offense that I want to have, even if I don't have like the top dog in McCaffrey. Even if I don't have some, I want to have pieces of this.
Yeah, game. Exactly. You want to get a piece of that offense, and you're going to be able to get one.
Add value. All right. Is there one more team that kind of comes to mind when you're thinking about maybe value here? I know we haven't talked about the Kansas City Chiefs, and that almost feels like a sin to say we didn't talk about the Kansas City Chiefs yet. In the top 60, they have Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. Both Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are out to the top 60 right now in the year of 2025. Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes out to the top 60.
I mean, that to me, that just represents value right there.
And Pacheco.
makes you wonder how they're winning football games, you know? Or some people don't wonder how they win football games.
I've heard some thoughts in the universe, in the fantasy space. I don't listen to a lot of fantasy podcasts. I normally just listen to like NFL-centric stuff, draft-centric stuff, things of that nature. And there's been kind of a thought that I've heard, or a rumor that I've heard, or murmur, I guess you'd say, about like, is this the Kansas City realizes like, hey, we got like one more run with this unit. Like, Andy Reid doesn't get a lot left. You know, Pacheco's banged up, going to age out. Kelsey's definitely got like, does Kelce have one more run left in him? If that happens, and instead of winning games 27 to 24 all year, they kind of kick it back up a notch and they start scoring 30, 35. Does that kind of pose just like a reminder? Like, does Kansas City kind of put themselves where they have two players in the top 60 and two of them that we know, and Kelce and Mahomes, that deserve to be up there? You know, kind of are they kind of looked at as a complete value in fantasy football? Like we see Philly, Cincy, and Detroit with like four or five dudes. You could look back at the end of the year and go, Rashee Rice, yep. Worthy, yep. Mahomes, yep. Kelce, yep. Pacheco, yep. Hollywood Brown, yep. Even one of these other three running backs that's just kind of sitting on the roster. Like, is Kansas City, obviously they're still a good football team, great football team. Mm-hmm. But for fantasy football purposes, like, should we be attack? Even that, do you want to attack that backfield, even though they're a good football team?
I want a piece of it. You know that, and that's kind of the point that I'm making is it's like these are players who, I mean, outside of Kelce, who's probably going to be drafted high just like on name recognition. But because the tight end field is what it is, that doesn't hurt me that much either. But these are all players who I think you can have at a reasonable value that could potentially outscore their ADPs and will for the most part. And these are, and because of the offense that they're in, the odds are better than they are for some other teams or some other players who you might take a chance on teams that aren't that good and probably won't be competing for the entire season. It's just, I think it just gives you a little bit of an edge having those pieces on your team, you know, especially considering where you can get them right now.
I just got one more question for you, Trash Man, to get out of here, but I want to know if you got any other teams you want to talk about before we do.
No. Let's see what you got.
All right. We've talked about a lot of good teams, a couple of bad teams. But I got a question about a team that's felt like they've been going to take that next step forward the last 3 years. They drafted their quarterback. They've drafted receivers. They've traded for receivers. They've drafted running backs. They've acquired running backs. But nobody really knows if this team's good or not. And if they are good, yeah, we want to get some pieces of that offense. But if they're not good, do we really want to get pieces of that offense? Are the Chicago Bears going to be a good football team in 2025? And if not, what does that mean for fantasy football?
You know, the Bears, they're one of those teams who it seems like every year we think they're going to be a good football team. They're not. And every year we think they're not going to be a good football team. They're not. So maybe they're just not a good football team. We're coming to a situation where, you know, we got some new personnel and the coaching office, I guess we'll call it that. It's not necessarily an offense that I would want to have a piece of. I mean, you know, we have our Roma Dunze, we have our DJ Moore. We have the rookie and
Burden and Loveland.
I mean, and they all have potential for sure, but we don't know if that offense is going to be any good. And the thing is, because of the name recognition for these players, we're probably not really going to be able to get much value on any of them. And that's where the conundrum is. It's just like, we don't know that it's going to be a good offense. It doesn't seem like it's necessary. I mean, it hasn't historically been a good offense in the past several years. We still don't know if Caleb Williams is truly the guy or not. There are a lot of question marks there in Chicago. And because you can't really get any of these guys at good value, I don't know that it's really worth it in the long run.